it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, Big Blue Nation, it's time for Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Dude.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. Welcome to the March 10th edition of Just the Cats. My name is Michael Bennett. Shannon the Dude is out today and tomorrow because somebody's complaining that he's getting a shot. I just can't believe this. But if you go look at the different people that can get, that are qualified to get their shots, he's qualified to go get a shot right now. So, and hopefully everybody will be. But I'm glad Shannon's doing it. He's going to be out today and tomorrow. We got Elliot filling in for him. Elliot, good to hear from you, my friend.
Good to be on the show. I have also received the shot last week, so I'm good to go.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you get the single shot, which I believe is the J&J, or are you getting the two series shot?
I got the first Moderna shot
last
week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And how did it go? I mean, walk me through this process right now, because did it take a long time? Did you have to wait in line a long time? What was the issue?
So there was a ton of people there. I had to go to Frankfurt to get it at some random clinic in a nondescript building.
That's always scary, yeah. Right there alone.
But there was a ton of people there, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be here all day.
Right.
But it moved very rapidly thanks to the Kentucky National Guard moving things along.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they had the National Guard there taking care of it.
Directing people.
Mm-hmm. All right, so once you walked in the door, how long do you think you were there?
I think in and out from walking into the door to walking out was about 25 minutes.
Is that all?
That's it.
Okay, that's pretty good right
15
there.
15 minutes of it was the mandatory waiting period they make you do after you get the shot, just to make sure there's no weird reactions.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not realize that. Okay, so, and you had no weird reaction or anything like that?
Besides my arm hurting like hell.
It did?
Yeah, it felt like Chuck Liddell like socked me in the arm. Because I haven't had any vaccines in years.
Oh, you haven't?
Okay. No. So,
okay.
That lasted a couple days, and I'm all good now.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Well, today we got a special show because Elliot's with us, number one, because he's my favorite producer. And number two, well, it's Clint. You know, Clint would give me a hard time because he was not only a Georgia fan, but he was also an Alabama fan.
And
exactly. But I miss Clint. He was a good guy. But I like talking about, here I go again. It's Wax Eater.
Yeah.
Is right?
Okay, that's right.
Good. It's not Earwax, but it's Wax Eater. I get to hear hopefully some songs. If you can find some clean versions of it, we'll be able to hear some of your stuff.
2 weeks ago, we played a live streaming show. I'll send you that link. Yes, it's on YouTube.
Why didn't you tell me this?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Exactly. You don't know. But we also are going to have John Wong. Is John Wong with us right now?
John's on the air.
All right, perfect.
Hey, Michael, good morning.
I'm happy
to report that I'm also fully vaccinated.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I got my series of two Moderna shots. The first one was no problem. Second one had a little bit of a temperature, was down and out for maybe 3 or 4 hours, but after that rebounded. So it's really no big deal. But I'm getting ready to pack for the SEC tournament. I hear that neither you nor Shannon, for that matter, are planning to head down there. So as the trusted Just the Cats on-site correspondent, it looks as though I'm going to be doing this solo this year. My big question to you and all the listeners is, how many changes of clothes should I take?
I just take one. I mean, that's basically what I'm looking at. So, sorry. I mean, nobody's going to see you. You're not going out anywhere. I don't even know if I would pack a bag. Just go down there with the same clothes and come back with the same clothes you got on. So, there you go.
So, it doesn't sound like you have much confidence in the Cats making a 4-day run.
Well, right? Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. That's not how it intended to come out, but it does kind of feel that way, John. I mean, I know we're going to talk about that a lot this hour. We're going to have Larry Vaught join us in just after the first break. So that'll be fun. He'll be making fun of me as well. But John, yeah, if I'm completely honest, I see us hopefully getting past Mississippi State. And then I just don't see this team making a run. I just don't. As much as it was fun to watch them really put a beat down on South Carolina over the weekend, I just my heart has already left the building and looking forward to next season.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Michael, I should probably take two pairs of underwear and I'll be good, right?
Let's not get that personal, John, okay? I don't know your preferences right there, boxers or briefs, and I don't want to know, so let's just leave it at that.
Hey, look. According to Vegas, and they're the ones who should know, I probably don't have to take that many. Kentucky is a 16-1 pick. Right. To win it all. Of course, Bama, I think, is favored. I saw where they were 11-5. Arkansas is second at 3-1. And Kentucky, I think, is 6. So the people in Vegas probably think that Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, and maybe LSU all have a better chance to win than Kentucky does. Now, the good news is that Kentucky's first-round opponent tomorrow at noon, Mississippi State, they're 66-1. So I think the Cats do have an excellent chance of winning that first game. If they win, it's Bama at noon on Friday. I'm like you. I'm not feeling too warm and fuzzy about that one. But, hey, this is a year anything can happen.
Well, yeah, anything can happen. And if you look at the two teams that are doing the best in the SEC right now, It's not Alabama. Alabama's second, and Arkansas might be playing better than Alabama right in there. So I'm kind of surprised that if you look at the odds, and Shannon and I talked about this yesterday, I'm kind of surprised that Arkansas is not the pick by Las Vegas. Aren't you, or am I?
That could be. Yeah. I mean, when you've won 11 in a row, that's pretty impressive.
It is.
You look at Kentucky's path, and this literally is a year in which they could beat anybody. If you look at their results all so far against the top five SEC teams, they already got a 13-point win over LSU during the regular season. They beat Tennessee by 15. They got an 18-point win on the road at Florida. They led Arkansas with 14 seconds left until that phantom foul, that bonehead turnover. Yeah. And then they had even led Alabama with 3.5 minutes left. So the problem is, can they win one game? Sure they can. It's can they win four games, four nights in a row? That's a difficult part.
Well, not just that, but can they lose one game? Yes, they can lose one game, and they can lose tomorrow when it comes to that. But, yeah, listen, you're right about that. We did have a blowout against a few teams this year that were supposed to be the better teams, and you look back at that Arkansas game, that's a game I look at and think, okay, we blew that game. If you're completely honest, absolutely blew that game and let Arkansas steal that away from us. I mean, that was one of those games that you look back and think, okay, how many three-point shots did we make during that game? And you mean we lost? That's got to be just blowing your mind right there.
Yeah, I think they were 14 of 26 from three-point range. How do you hit 14 of 26 and lose a game like that?
You're not supposed to. If you're honest, you are not supposed to be doing stuff like that. But, hey, if you want to give us a call, Larry Vaught's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. I already got some questions for y'all, so we'll get those when we come back. But you can call us at 502-571-1080. Or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. John, you like a good cup of coffee, don't you?
Absolutely. I've got one in my hand right now.
Well, unfortunately, I don't. But I tell you what, a little later on, I'll be headed down to the Coffee Zone. They're conveniently located at the corner of New LaGrange Road and Whips Mill, right across the street from the YMCA. They got more sugar-free flavors than anybody else out there. They roast their own beans, and the best part, it's all local. Support those local businesses out there, and they would appreciate it. My good friends Craig and Diana Bishop, they run a great business. They had a tough time during all this pandemic, shut down the businesses, opened the business, shut down the business. Give them a try. That's the Coffee Zone at the corner of New LaGrange and Whips Mill, and they'll serve you a great cup of coffee, and trust me, you'll thank me later. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. If you'd like, give us a call, 502-571-1080. We'll be right back. John Wong, Michael Bennett, Elliot Turton, and also Larry Vaught coming up. We'll see you in a minute. Just a guess.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
All right, don't turn this down yet. Who is this?
This is not Wax Eater. I had to grab something because of technical issues.
You had me all excited. I'm thinking, man, this sounds really good, Elliot.
We sound similar to this. Just as loud.
Yeah, I want you to send me the link to your YouTube concert,
okay.
And we're going to put it on. I'll link it up, and so everybody can see Elliot Turton out there.
Dressed as a cowboy.
Dressed as a cowboy.
Yeah.
So it's a themed band. Any particular reason why?
We haven't played in a long time. Just wanted to, you know, wear something goofy.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I like that. All right, so joining us now, not only John Wong is with us, editor-in-chief of JustTheCats.com, but we've got the great Larry Vaught, who, I won't say it, but Larry, how are you doing today?
Well, considering how early it is in the morning, I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad you were able to wake up from your busy day of sleeping, so I appreciate that, Larry. But, I'll be honest with you. John Wong put out a great post yesterday on justthecats.com if you haven't seen it. And memories are not just memories, but five things that you recall. I mean, John, you'll probably do a better job of describing it than I am right now. But it's a great post that you're absolutely right. The things that we remember from our past. And you talked about the Kennedy assassination. You talked about the Challenger, which I don't remember the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but I certainly remember exactly where I was in 1986 when the Challenger went down. And where is that going to rank as far as last year and remembering what happened on March 11th when everything just shut down?
Yeah, I think, Michael, the other one was also space-related. It was also the moon landing, which
that's right, yes,
on my mind. And, of course, we all remember 2001,
2001, right.
Yeah,
the Twin Towers.
On that day. But I think the one thing that really makes last year stand out as a defining moment was the ramifications that occurred afterwards. When it first happened, none of us realized how significant it would become. But when you look at how much the economy shut down and over 500,000 deaths in this country, I mean, gosh, you have to think that it has to rank right up there with your all-time stop what you're doing and look moments.
Larry, as far as last year goes, when all of the three of us were down in Nashville, what kind of comes back to memory when you think everything that was happening?
Just that I think, like what John described, that I thought, well, in a couple of weeks things will be better and it's not that big a deal. I hate to see them not get to play the SEC tournament, but no idea what the ramifications are going to be and what our next year or year and a half we're going to end up being like. I don't think I had a clue. I mean, I remember walking to the arena that morning and finding out, hey, they just called everything off, and you're thinking, wow, this is pretty remarkable. And but again, think, well, there's no way this thing could be all this bad. We'll get this under control, and things will be back to normal pretty quick. And then a year later, here we still are.
Well, exactly. I mean, those are some of the funnest memories I have. Are going down there and going to the different bars with you guys, both of y'all, and I'm out there kissing male cheerleaders and all this kind of, and Larry's taking pictures of it and keeping it for that time he's going to come back at me, which I'm sure you'll enjoy that anyway. But, I mean, it was an eerie feeling when John Wong and I were sitting there and we're watching probably the big board more than we're watching the game itself. And seeing all these different events just start canceling right there. And, of course, you have the situation with, how do you pronounce the guys, Gobert, who was touching all the microphones after his NBA game. And then next thing you know, he's got COVID and making fun of it. And, of course, you look back and there was nothing funny about this and all the changes that we've seen. I used to look at people and think, why are you wearing a mask? And this is years ago. And today, I don't go anywhere without a mask.
Oftentimes, the word surreal is overused,
yes,
in my mind. But that night, that evening, was truly surreal. You and I, we were sitting right by each other. And it was like just amazing seeing all these dominoes falling one by one. And it was being magnified every time we'd hear an announcement. Remember, first of all, it was that there will be a limited attendance in the games the next few days. They hadn't shut it down yet, and people were booing. Then after that, the announcement came.
That's
that,
right.
The NBA was possibly going to shut down, and it was just, I remember before that, you know, when it was just getting started, that Wednesday night, I think there were more people on that Wednesday night than there have ever been at any other SEC tournament. People were psyched. They were pumped. And I was sitting by you, and all of a sudden, Tom Hart walks by. And, of course, Michael Bennett, he big times me. He goes to talk to Tom. I felt like Shannon at the Penn 15 Club. You know, I was sitting there all alone.
There's
nobody to talk to. And Michael Bennett, he doesn't introduce me or anything at all.
Come over and speak. Don't give me a hard time.
Yeah, you were big time to me. You know, you were giving me the stink eye. Right. Hey, this is my buddy. Don't interfere.
Okay. Whatever you say, John. I know, Larry, I talked to you a couple of days ago, and I was asking about a friend of ours, Coach Steve Ortmeier, and I hate to bring up the bad part of it, but unfortunately that's the life we live in today, and we got the news yesterday about Coach passing away. I mean, it was amazing. I thought I just asked Larry about him the day before, and then he passed away yesterday. What are some of your great memories of Coach Ortmeier at University of Kentucky?
Ort was just a special guy, one of the coaches I probably loved talking to more than anybody, because he could explain things in simple ways that I could understand without making me feel dumb. I really liked the way that he could do that. But I mean, players just loved him. He was a terrific special teams coach, tight ends coach, and his insights were just remarkable. I learned pretty quickly that when Steve Ortmeier told you something, just to go ahead and figure that he knew what he was, that it was right, and he understood what was going on. He was a great asset for the UK football program and Rich Brooks, and I still think that was one of the biggest mistakes that Joker Phillips made, was not keeping Steve Ortmeier on his staff when he took over as head coach, because I think Joker could have really helped use some guidance from Steve. But Steve, just a kind, caring, compassionate man, had a Super Bowl ring, came here with Rich Brooks, fell in love with Kentucky, and just stayed in Lexington after he was out of coaching, and was a great guest on radio shows for the past, I don't know how many years now it's been, but always really insightful and really good. And when you just see the emotions from former players pouring out over Ort's death, it just tells you a lot about him. And to lose him and John Schlarman both in a relatively short period, it's two really beloved University of Kentucky assistant football coaches who are both a lot alike in many, many ways.
Yeah, that's two definite blows to the football program at UK. I mean, you're exactly right. You have Schlarman, who was beloved by all the players, the current players, and then you have and past players too. And then this happens with Ortmeier, and beloved as well. So let's go to the phone lines before we have to go to break. 502-571-1080. Who's up first?
Otis.
Otis, what's going on?
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Great. I just wanted to say, I know it's been a tough regular season for the guys. It's a fresh start for them. Everyone's 0-0. Don't have to look at anyone's record. Don't have to look up to anyone, look down to anyone. I believe they're going to come in with a workman mentality, bring the hard head and the lunch pail, because this is a business trip. They go out there to handle business. I believe they can win 4 games in 4 days, but they just got to take 1 game at a time, not look ahead. Tomorrow's going to be a tough challenge starting out, trying to get their rhythm going, but I believe in the guys. I believe in the cats. I believe in Coach Cal. I believe in 1 through 15, all the players be ready to play. I want them to cheer for one another, hype up one another. No matter what, win, lose, or draw, my guys are still going to ball. I'll be ready to go, and I believe they'll make the tournament. Go Cats.
There we go, Otis. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk all about SEC now and some of the surprises that may or may not happen. We'll see if it does. I want to hear from both of y'all. What's the scenario that this could happen? This is Just the Cats. We'll be right back. Larry Vaught, John Wong, Michael Bennett. See you in a minute.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
That's got to be it, right?
That's it.
Oh, uh-huh. That's it. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Turn it up just a little bit so we can listen to this. Did we just drop a bomb right there? I hope not.
Okay, I don't think good. So. No.
Okay, good. I hope that's not the case. But listen, I like your band. Now I'm really intrigued about seeing them on YouTube.
Okay.
So I hope you send that, and I'll send it out to everybody. So, Larry, I know that's the kind of music that you just love, isn't it?
No, I'm an Alyssa Ray fan.
You don't have to answer that, Larry. It's okay. He puts you on the spot every time I run the show. You don't have to like my band. It's cool.
I like it. No, I definitely like it, but I'm pretty eclectic. And I know it's just like Larry to say he likes Alyssa Ray. We'll talk about her in a couple minutes, but let's talk about Terrence Clark first. Larry, I'll start with you and then go to John. Larry, is there any scenario that Terrence Clark plays this weekend at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess there is. I can't imagine it's going to happen. I think it's just a tease, and John Calipari's sure didn't sound to me much like it was going to happen. But, I mean, I guess there's always a scenario. But, no, I can't really see it happening, and I don't really see it mattering if it does happen.
Really? You don't see it mattering? Okay. John, do you see any way that Terrence Clark plays this weekend? Because, you know, he teased us kind of at the press conference, and Terrence Clark puts out this picture of him on social media. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. If everybody else fouls out, then he doesn't have a choice except to put him in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think if that happens at that point, Larry, myself, and you, John, are suiting up for the team.
No, I think there is a difference between being in shape and being in game shape. There's a difference between just getting your cardiovascular system going versus being able to stop and go and run up and down the court. So he's out of it. I think he's just going to be an emergency stopgap measure. Other than that, we're not going to see him on the court.
The other thing that Cal said the past couple of days is talking about Dante Allen is shooting the ball really well. Is that happening in practice, or is that just Cal talk trying to get the fans happy and Dante happy that there's a chance he gets in the game and maybe we get a run with him because he played really well against Mississippi State? That was the game that broke him out.
Yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit of a combination of both. I heard that he did have a very, very good practice, hit some shots the other day, but I think Calipari kind of feels bad for putting Dante in the position that he's in right now. I mean, the guy's so tense now on whether he needs a shoot or not when he gets in the game that he's just tripping all over himself. And, you know, in order to make shots, Dante needs to have his feet set. He needs to square up. He needs the ball thrown to him in the correct position. And hopefully we can have a repeat of that Mississippi State game. I'm looking forward to it. I think they need him. I mean, when you think about it, in that Mississippi State game, he scored 23. He followed up with 14 at Vandy. We thought he was rolling. And then all of a sudden, the pressure gets to his head. UK loses 7-8, and his game goes south. But I think Cal's right. This team needs Dante to make a couple of big shots if they're going to make a run.
John, Larry, did you hear John in the very beginning of that? He said Cal kind of feels bad. Is there any way Cal feels bad about not playing Dante more?
Maybe a little bit, but since he's the one making the decision, I don't think he could feel too bad about it because he's the one that decides who's going to play and who's not. And
during what half as well, apparently, too. So, you know, yeah, Cal makes the rules, but go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, and to me, I don't think it's probably news that Dante shot well in practice because Dante, I think, shoots well most of the time. So I think that was just a little mind game that John Calipari was playing. And again, his love, non-love, whatever it is with Dante Allen has been pretty baffling all season long. He didn't play him at all early in the season, and he only really gets to play that much at Mississippi State because Calipari gets thrown out of the game, and Bruiser puts him in there when he starts making shots. Bruiser leaves him in, and again, after he has a couple good games, obviously the other teams are going to start paying more attention to him because now they know who he is, but Kentucky has never seemed to me to do a really good job of trying to run any plays to get Dante Allen open when he has been in the game that much, and instead everybody talks about he can't do this and he can't do that. Well, they've got a whole team that can't do this and can't do that because how many Kentucky players made All-SEC, Michael?
Yeah, that's the first time since how long? It's none is the answer.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. Those SEC coaches that all season kept talking about how good Kentucky was and how great their talent was. When it came time to pick the 16 best players in the SEC, they didn't pick any UK players.
Yeah, I guess I was a little disappointed. Maybe Mintz didn't make it, but that's the only one I probably would have thrown up there. But, it's the first. I know Corey, what's his last name, put up a tweet. Corey Price. Yeah, put up a tweet that it's been since, was it 1940 or 1950, something like that. Is how long? No, it's they started in 1956 when they started doing this, and only it happened one other time when a UK player did not make it. I mean, that was pretty surprising, but on the other hand, it wasn't surprising because who deserved it, John?
Well, I was surprised at Isaiah Jackson. If he's not one of the top 16 players on the team in the league, then. I think you need to kind of reevaluate the voting process. I mean, I think that's a real key when we're talking about Kentucky's Ron Jackson. He needs to stay out of foul trouble. I mean, the guy's averaging nearly, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks a game. But he's always been in foul trouble. I think I saw where in 9 and 24 games, he's had 4 more fouls, and he's fouled out of 5 of those games. So in the games in which he's done well, he's had 4 double-doubles on the year. He only had 3 fouls or fewer in those games. And so he needs to continue this run. You know, against South Carolina, 13 points, 10 rebounds, only 2 fouls. He's acknowledged that the team can't win unless he's out on the floor, and I agree with that. He claims he's been watching a ton of tape to get better understanding of why he needs to stay aggressive versus when he needs to ratchet back a little bit. So I think Jackson... he needs to continue to find that balance between being physical and also not fouling.
You think, Larry, that referees get to a point where they know certain players get into foul trouble, so therefore they must call fouls? It always seemed like it happened to DeMarcus Cousins. It always seemed like it happened to Nick Richards, and they would just get these dumb foul calls against them. Has that happened, and is that happening to this guy? I mean...
No, I think it's more the teams just go at him and do things because they know he's prone to make silly fouls. I mean, that's usually Isaiah's problem. How many illegal screens has he got this year? How many reaching fouls has he got 10, 15 feet away from the basket? I mean, he normally doesn't get fouls going up and trying to block shots and protecting the rim. It's all the fouls he gets out away from the basket that normally get him in trouble. And when John was kind of saying about maybe him being on the team, but yet you're talking about Kentucky's best player averaged 9 points and 7 rebounds, that kind of tells you a lot about what this season is when you're talking about Kentucky's best guy that he's averaging double figures.
Well, let's take a phone call real quick. Then I got a couple of things I want to say before we go to break. Let's go back to the phone lines, 502-571-1080. Who's up next? Elliot.
Let's go to line.
Let's go to line one. Who's on line one? hello, who is this?
Hello?
Oh, Kentucky Joe. Okay.
Yeah,
How you doing, Joe?
Good morning, guys. Okay, I guess the big question, how in the world do we really win 4 games? I'm going to say this. We bomb the threes with Dante Allen. Boston and Minsk and also rebound inside, and like you all said, you know, Isaiah Jackson can't foul out. We need him. We need both. We need Brooks and Jackson inside.
I agree with that. And the one thing I think we need to do, John, is that we got to make certain. I appreciate the phone call, Joe. Good to hear from you. But I think the one thing we need to do is drive to the basket and not try to not get fouled. When we go there, get fouled, and go to the free throw line, what happens? We make free throws, don't you think? And then guess what? That opens it up to the outside.
Well, a lot of that's going to be dependent on point guard play. And Cal talks about being scared of his team reverting. I'm kind of scared that Cal's going to revert to play Askew again. I know he's trying to protect the guy publicly.
Wow.
But he's not doing anybody any favors by putting Askew in a position where he's bound to fail. And I've supported Askew a lot this year. But his role for the rest of the season, no matter how many games are left, is to be a backup to Mintz at point guard. I think that's going to be a real, real key. Kentucky needs a score. I mean, they're 9-3 this year when they score at least 70 points. They're 0-12 when they're held under 70 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cal has thrown these parameters up there. Hey, we need to get 18 assists, 10 to 12 turnovers. We need to fight like heck in order to win. I'll add that they also need to play fast. Now, that's going to be a challenge because, as you know, in tournament time, things slow down quite a bit. But Kentucky needs a run. They need Mintz to play the point. They need to play fast and play reckless.
Larry, before we go to break, in your mind, after the season is done, who do you think stays and who leaves?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I really have not kind of thought about it that much because I figure there's no way to really know because some of these guys, there's no rhyme or reason to what they may or may not do. But, I mean, I would be shocked if Jackson, Boston, or Clark, if any of those three were back. It would stun me. I don't think Sarr will be back for sure. Mintz, it's going to be interesting to see what he decides to do and not do because – I can see an argument for him coming back, but also no matter where he's going to try to play at the next level, his stock may not ever be any higher than what it's going to be right now with the way he's finishing this season. So I don't know that I think he'll really be back either. And there's probably several guys that you don't think about that may just opt to transfer and go other places. So we will see, but I think that they can have a complete roster change. It's not an unrealistic thing to think you could see happening next year. After this season.
Well, there's a certain player down in Auburn that's decided to leave. I want to talk about him for a second when we get back. And, of course, we got to talk about Larry's favorite singer from Bull County. We'll talk about her as well. This is Just the Cats. We'll be right back with more. Okay, so, Larry, I know you've interviewed this young lady a couple of times. You've posted it on your Vaught's Views website. You've put it on justthecats.com. Give us a little insight on Alyssa Ray, and I know you're assisting me trying to get her to come on the show, hopefully next week. But tell us what you think about this young lady.
So, did you answer the email to get her on your show?
I did answer the email. I answered right back.
Okay, so you've been in touch with her people then? Okay,
yes.
Just want to make sure you're following through.
Good deal. I am following through. Okay.
But Alyssa's a terrific young lady. She's from Perryville, a small town, also a place where Eddie Montgomery lived for a number of years, so two pretty good singers from there. Played basketball at Bull County, 6'2", was a shot-blocking phenom. Now she's a freshman at Northern Kentucky. Just has a dynamic voice, Michael, just dynamic as you heard right there.
Right.
She's always performed at a lot of local shows, sang national anthem here at numerous events. In fact, she played Elsa in the production of Frozen that they
did here
locally. It was quite a thing to see her performing that, but just a charming young lady. And just when a guy like Lionel Richie says she's a once in a generation talent, that really gets your attention. She's also a Kentucky fan, so you should like that.
We like
about
that.
Her, but you'll enjoy talking to her. You won't miss another episode of American Idol after you talk to her.
Okay, good. Well, I look forward to it. Hopefully, it works out. So, because they were asking me, hey, Michael, can you do a recording of the interview? And I'm like, unfortunately, we can't. With the iHeart studio shut down, we have to do it. We have to do everything live. We can't do anything. I mean, I was going to have Dick Vitale on, and he got a little upset with me because we couldn't record it. But anyway, let me ask you this, because somebody tweeted out, Kevin tweeted out, have you heard of anyone in the run in replacing Jamal Singleton? I haven't heard anything. John, let me start with you. Have you heard anything replacing him?
No, crickets, nada, nothing at all. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. I hope it's not going to be another special teams by committee. We saw how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Larry, have you heard anything?
No, have not. And I was thinking spring practice was going to start Tuesday, even though we've still never heard anything official about that. either, and still waiting to do the interviews with the mid-year enrollees. We're still waiting on all that, so it's been pretty quiet coming out of the UK football camp.
Is there a particular reason that it is? Why do you think that is, Larry?
I think when they got paused with COVID, that kind of quietened things down for a while. I just think things are kind of screwy this year, and who knows what's going on. Maybe Mark's just taking his time and trying to make sure he gets the right person again. Maybe he's going to reorganize his staff and change things around on who coaches what. I don't know, but I would have thought they would have had somebody in place by now, and maybe we're going to find out the next day or two Mark's got his person, but I would have thought you'd have wanted your new running backs coach or a new special teams coach or just your new coach period. You'd kind of want him here for spring practice.
As far as next season, when it comes to football, what chances do you think we're going to have filled stadiums, Larry?
Oh, I think the chances get better every day, it seems to me. I don't know that they will be filled, even though after Alabama announced that theirs would be filled, it's probably going to be hard for other SEC teams not to let them be filled if you're allowed. And with the gains we seem to be making with the number of people vaccinated and all, I think there's a pretty good chance if they're not filled, it's going to be awful close to full capacity.
Have either of y'all heard this word, trypanophobia?
No, that's new to me.
Larry, have you ever heard of trypanophobia?
I'm pretty sure I couldn't spell it, so I've never heard of it.
Exactly. And I saw this. I read an article about it yesterday. It is the fear of getting a needle or a shot.
Oh, I've got that then. I do have that. I've got it.
Do you really? See, I've had shots all my life, from allergies to being in the medical industry. You always had to be vaccinated going to the hospitals. But I have seen the videos of people that are getting vaccinated for COVID, and they are just freaking out. I've never seen this before. So,
Don't make fun of those people, Michael.
I'm not making fun of them.
At work for years when we had to have the flu shot, they scheduled mine early before anybody else would be around so they could go in and give me mine in my room in case I passed out, that nobody else would see it and be afraid to take it.
So, yeah, I can't imagine Larry Vaught passing out.
Oh, I've got a huge fear of needles. If they have to take blood from me, they just lay me down, put the ice back on my head, and I just conk out.
Yeah, Michael, I have no fear of needles at all. I've given plenty of shots myself and never bothered me at all.
Exactly. That's kind of how I feel. Now, I don't look forward to getting a shot, but I figured you wouldn't be really nervous about them, John. But you know what helps all of us? If you got a little bit of anxiety, you got a little bit of pain, there's one place that you need to check out, and that's cornbreadhemp.com. They got USDA certified organic CBD oil, and they got balm, they got everything you need, lotions, stuff for your hands that are just incredible. Go try them out. Go check them out at cornbreadhemp.com. If you use the promo code CATS, CATS, you're going to get 25% off your first order, and that's a great way to do it. Or if you're in a hurry to get it, guess what? All you got to do is go to Amazon. You get it in a couple of days, and there, boom, you got it. Go check them out, cornbreadhemp.com. All right, predictions for you two. John, let's start with you. Where do you think Kentucky, how deep will they go in this tournament, and who will they lose to?
Well, I don't think you should overlook Mississippi State. I mean, Bulldogs, they've won three of their last five games. One of them was to Alabama, so don't look past that. I think Kentucky will get past it. Up
real
against
quick.
Alabama next game, probably
all right,
go down.
Larry, real fast, we got 10 seconds. Where do you think Kentucky goes?
Second round, loses to Alabama.
There we go. All right, everybody. Alan Cutler is going to be with us tomorrow. Have a great day. Appreciate you joining us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.